Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here till midnight tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's our toll-free number. The lines are open right now, 888-677-9673. And if you prefer a non-toll-free number, you can always call 216-901-0933. But we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you'd give us a good night, Lord, and we could talk about things that would be a blessing, encouragement to people, and point people to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Strengthen the faith of believers, and we thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I certainly invite you to visit us there. We're also on the air every Friday afternoon. If you have trouble staying up on Sunday nights here, you can always listen here on AM 1220, The Word, every Friday afternoon from 2:30 until 3 o'clock. I'm here, and I certainly encourage you to tune in and give us a call then as well. But in the meanwhile, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And what a warm day today, muggy as can be. This is that summer weather that we were all looking for back when we were in the deep freeze just a few months ago. But give us a call if you got a question. We've got John calling in already tonight. John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good. I'm warm.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of nice, you know, after this spring and this past winter to have some warmth, and I'm not a person who likes hot temperatures.
We're going to have to get you an air conditioner.
Well, you know, I don't like turning my air conditioner on, but I did this weekend yesterday. It was kind of nice to come into the house with the air conditioning on after doing all the lawn work.
I had a question.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if 2 Peter 2:4 is identical to Revelation 9:11.
All right. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me turn over there. And let's see here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, for if... Let me get my microphone stand in the right spot here. It wants to swing around on me. Here we go. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And the sentence actually goes on for several more. Now you're asking if that's the same as in Revelation?
Revelation 9:11.
All right. Well, let me go to Revelation 9:11 here. And we'll read that too, and we'll compare the two passages here. Revelation 9 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." And let me just back up for the context there. This goes back, the fifth angel sounding there, and in verse number 2 it says, "He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace." And then out of this smoke, the Bible says, there came locusts upon the earth. They're locusts with a sting like a scorpion, and it describes them on through here. And that's where we come down to verse 11, where they had a king over them, which would seem to indicate that these are some kind of demonic beings. And
I was wondering if hell is the same as the bottomless pit.
Well, I guess it would depend on what part we're talking about. Hell, in terms of the word Hades in the Bible, hell can be used, the English word hell can be used a couple of times. Sometimes it refers to that portion where people who die without Christ right now go. That was referred to in the Old Testament, for instance, as the pit. That's the portion that at the end of Revelation, it says death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And I would say it's also where the bottomless pit is located. I would say that that portion of hell, which is described as the underworld, and we think of the place of torment, where in the story of the rich man and Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man went into torment. And in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back, he takes the devil, and in the next chapter, he's cast into the lake or into the bottomless pit. And if you think about it, the center of the earth would be a perfect location in terms of a bottomless pit, because every direction would be up. And humanly speaking, we have guesstimates about what we think the condition of the center of the earth is. Some people think that it's a solid nickel iron core at the inner core. Some people have speculated in the past that it was liquid and all sorts of things. And so we really don't know, because we have no way of getting there. It's just the conditions and the depth. We don't have the technology to get there to see what it's like. But the Bible seems to indicate to people going down into the pit, down into hell in that respect. And then, of course, if that's where the bottomless pit is located and the devil is imprisoned there, certainly he would be there with every direction being up. There's no bottom. But going back to 2 Peter, however, the angels that were put into chains of darkness there in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, these are angels that apparently committed such sins in the early part of creation's history, in the early part of our Earth's history, that God has confined them until a future date in chains of darkness, presumably in the bottomless pit. And it could be that some of these fallen angels are a part of this group here in Revelation chapter 9, coming out of the bottomless pit.
Would they be the locust?
Well, they come in the form of a locust, and when you read through that, it's clear that they're not real locusts. For one thing, they come up out of the bottomless pit. Locusts might come up out of the ground, but they don't come from the center of the earth, for one thing. And also, locusts do not have a sting in their tail like a scorpion.
But it's speaking metaphorically.
Right. And they're describing something that John is trying to describe in his words as best as he can. So he uses the term locusts. He uses the term scorpions. He uses the term in verse 7, like unto horses prepared unto battle. He says on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. So all that's metaphorical language. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And that's all metaphorical. So John's trying to describe something he had never seen before. The number of them comes out as like a swarm of locusts coming on the land. And John would have been familiar with that, a dark cloud of locusts coming out, devouring, you know, basically everything in their sight. Only these locusts don't hurt the green grass of the earth, nor any green thing. You can see that in verse number 4. They only go after people. Specifically, they only go after people who are not believers in Christ at this time. Those are the ones that are stricken. And so this is something out of John's experience. He's never seen anything like this before, and he's trying to give the gist of what he saw as best as he could with his understanding. And we'll see. This will occur during the tribulation, obviously. And people who are here will have to see how close John's description was. We might describe it a little differently today, technology and stuff. But
I think people that have farms and stuff, if they say they have a plague of locusts, that would mean that there would be destruction of the land. And I think Apollyon means destruction, doesn't it?
I believe it's. You may be correct on that. You'll find that a lot of names in the Bible and a lot of names that are given to some of these fallen angels and stuff have to do with their role, I guess, in terms of what they do. Satan, for instance, is the adversary, we see that.
There in Revelation 9:11, wouldn't he be the angel of the abyss, Apollyon?
Some people have thought that he is. I don't think he is. I think this is another one. This is another fallen angel. I think this is one of the ones that's been imprisoned previously in the earth. I don't think this one in particular has to be Satan. It could be, but I do not personally believe that it is. I think this is another one that
would
be there.
Would it be fair to say that Satan is the angel of death?
In the sense that he deals in death, we could probably make a case for others. He's also called the father of lies, and he's given a number of titles. He's called the adversary. He's called the accuser of the brethren, and things of that nature. There's different names at different times given to him. Prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, things of that nature, which show his characteristics. His first name, of course, was Lucifer. That was before he fell. And I believe Lucifer meant the shining one, I think, if I remember correctly. But
when people talk about the Grim Reaper, that would be Satan, right?
Not necessarily, because the Bible says and let me go here. We're in Revelation there. Let me go back to Revelation chapter 21, I think it is, or maybe it's 20, no, 22, I'm sorry, 20 in verse, going back the wrong way, in verse number 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Now, prior to that, it says in verse number 10, it says, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And then other things happen. The judgment of the unsaved dead takes place. And then after that, then we see after hell has been emptied out, that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And so it seems to separate death from the devil there. The devil certainly causes a lot of death and destruction. And certainly Apollyon causes a lot of death and destruction. And other fallen angels, other devils, cause a lot of death and destruction. Currently are and will in the future. There's others. There's the three unclean spirits that go out of the mouths, I believe, of the Antichrist and the false prophet another one. But I believe there's three, like they're described as being like frogs, and they go out into the earth. They cause a lot of death and destruction. So the devil's not the only one that does it.
I was talking with my neighbor yesterday, and he seems to think that the devil still has access to God. Is it?
A limited access, to be sure. Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, we read where the devil presents himself before God to accuse Job. And then in 1 John chapter 2, there in the first verse or two, it says that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. And the reason for that you can see in Revelation chapter 12, where it says that, let's see, Revelation chapter 12, and let's go down to verse number 7, where it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought." And the dragon's the devil. You'll see that clearly here in a minute. "Fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, this is why I think this is a future event. This, I don't think this occurs is what occurred in the distant past, because verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see the devil accusing Job before God. And like I said, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 talks about Jesus, the advocate with the Father, who is, he's standing up in our place. The city gates in the Old Testament era, you can see where a lot of business was transacted in the city gates. They weren't just a doorway. There was a space there, and it was going into the city, but not fully into the city. And judgment would take place there. Business transactions would take there. Legal proceedings would take place there. Trials would take place there. All sorts of things. And so I think that the devil right now has access, if you would call it, to that gates of heaven where these activities take place. And he doesn't have the full run of heaven, but he has the ability to have access to God, where God is sitting in a judgment capacity to bring accusation against believers. And that's why he's the accuser of the brethren, that doesn't cease to accuse the brethren before God day and night. And he's doing that right now. And at the midpoint of the tribulation is when I believe this passage in Revelation 12 is referring to. He will be cut off from that access to God, and he will be confined to the earth alone at that time. And he'll have great wrath, the Bible says.
That's what kind of confused me, because if, like my neighbor said, that he had access to the gates of heaven, how could he have access to the gates of heaven if he's in the pit?
Well, he's not. He's not. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that the devil is currently, that Satan is currently in the bottomless pit. That's a future
isn't
event.
That
won't
that,
occur until after the tribulation.
That's not what 2 Peter and Revelation is talking about?
No, that's what I said. 2 Peter... those were some angels that sinned against God. Some people think they might be the angels referred to in Genesis that produced children with the women of the earth. But for whatever reason, these angels were confined to the bottomless pit. Satan was not. He is the god of this world, and he is very active in the world today. He could not have gone to God and accused Job if he was confined to the bottomless pit. He's going to be confined to the bottomless pit at the conclusion of the tribulation for 1,000 years.
I was always under the impression that he had been sent there at the time of the resurrection.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. No, there's nothing that says that. Now, his doom was certainly sealed at the resurrection. That's for sure. But
you don't believe that he was sent to the pit at the resurrection?
No, the Bible never says that. In fact, the Bible never says that he's going to be in the pit until after the tribulation. And the tribulation has not occurred yet. Okay. And he is referred to by Paul after the resurrection as being active in the world and being the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air. So, you know, Paul and Peter and John all wrote about the devil being active in this world currently in their time after the resurrection of Christ. And he's still quite active in the world today. Yeah, those are good questions, John. And
okay.
I always enjoy talking
with you.
Thank you. I appreciate the calls.
Okay. So, have a good night.
You too. Take care. Have a good 4th of July.
Thank you.
So appreciate that. You're listening to Live or Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Get on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got Neil calling in next, and Neil, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
I just wanted to remind all our listeners that the Supreme Court of the U.S., this Monday, they're expected to release their decision in the Hobby Lobby case.
Right.
And that, you know, until they say that, there's still time for us to pray for them to have some wisdom. And so, well, how would you suggest we pray for them?
Well, I think we need to pray that God gives the justices wisdom. And also that he gives them the courage to act upon first and foremost biblical principles, and then secondly constitutional principles, not legislate from the bench, but rather simply do the judicial review that they're supposed to do. We've had some good decisions by the Supreme Court in this past week. They struck down in the one case the law. I want to say was it in Massachusetts or Maine or someplace where they had like a 35-foot buffer zone around abortion mills where people could not try to advocate the pro-life position and try and save babies and warn people what they were doing. And they struck that down on the free speech issues. There was also, let's see, what was the other one? The other big decision the court had. I don't know, Neil, do you remember the other issue that they had? It's a big one. It's just slipping my mind right here at the moment.
The election thing.
Right. Right. No, not the elections, the executive orders. President had been making recess appointments, claiming that the Senate or the Congress was not in session. President can make a recess appointment while Congress is out of session or the Senate's out of session. And he was claiming on his own that they were out of session, even though they weren't. And so the suit came through with that, and he was using that as a way to make appointments without getting confirmation from the legislative branch of the government over his appointments. So that was one of a major one there. So this one in Hobby Lobby, we need to pray for that. The critics are already out there trying to say that a favorable decision on behalf of Hobby Lobby, and just to remind people what's going on, is under the Obamacare nightmare, Hobby Lobby is owned by Christians. And they are, along with other for-profit corporations, being forced to provide abortion coverage and morning after pill contraceptive coverage against their Christian beliefs. And they're not allowed to have an exemption on religious grounds. And so Hobby Lobby, of course, has filed suit. They've been fighting it. And the Hobby Lobby, of course, was willing to provide for other forms of contraceptives, just not the morning after, which is basically an abortive. It kills the child. That's what it does. It's an abortion by a pill. And so they have been fighting this. And of course, the critics, they're kind of like the Pharisees in Luke chapter 13 that told Jesus, you better leave Galilee because Herod wants to kill you. They weren't really in Jesus' best interest. They were just trying to discourage him and get him to stop working. And so the well-meaning critics are saying, oh, this would actually be a horrible thing for Christianity, for Christians to have this case come through and be favorable for Hobby Lobby. Because
that would be wonderful.
Yeah, it would be good. I mean, it would uphold freedom. And they're trying to say, oh, if they do this, it's going to put the government in charge of deciding what is or isn't religion, and that's going to, you know, keep the lawyers litigating all kinds of things.
But it's not like employees who want abortion coverage.
They can go get it, on their own. And certainly they can go to Planned Parenthood, and they can get a lot of these things taken care of. But people, when they work at Hobby Lobby, know that they're working at a company that has Christian ownership. That's why they don't work on Sundays. That's one thing right there. Why they don't sell certain things in their stores and all. So I think we certainly live in a day when the government wants to control every aspect of our lives, and the courts want to legislate from the bench, and the executive branch wants to legislate through executive orders and bureaucratic regulations, and the legislative branch that's supposed to be doing that constantly pumps out regulation after regulation that nobody has any clue what they're talking about. And now we need to pray for a little common sense in our country, and a little more freedom for Americans, to be able to express their views and their beliefs. So I think we ought to pray for a good result on the Hobby Lobby case coming out this week.
We have up till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
Is that when it's coming out?
Yeah, no earlier than that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, we're coming up on the break, so I encourage people to pray for that situation. We'll find out later.
God bless.
Thanks. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation, even if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with us this evening. And certainly we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. But we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights also has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100, located in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you can contact Gus at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at that same number, 216-341-9100. Just call, ask for Gus, and ask how he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. You'll get his sauce recipe, his dough recipe, training, all sorts of stuff to help you get set up in your own business, and you can avoid those high franchise fees if you're interested in that. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And we're going to get back to our program here this evening. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight, 888-677-9673. And we have John calling in. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. I haven't heard you from you in a while. How you doing?
Oh, I'm really blessed, really.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about something when I heard, well, John was talking about, he says, well, is the devil the angel of death?
Right.
And I mean, you know, no, I don't think that's right exactly, but I was kind of got me searching through a concordance for a minute, because I said, you know, that seems familiar. And then I did notice something in it's Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15.
Oh, okay.
There's a verse before that, actually, maybe that would be good to know, too. But, I mean, it does say, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the verse before explains it better. It says, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Right, right.
He just said the devil has the power of death.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, but also, I mean, you know, the Lord said, well, he has the keys of hell and of death.
Right.
The Lord himself does.
Well, and obviously God allows people to die, and, you know, he has to do so. Because if you go all the way back to Genesis, you know, before chapter 3, when God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and let me take a quick look here. In the Garden of Eden, it says in verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this tree of knowledge of good and evil, God told Adam in verse 16, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And if death was not a consequence of Adam and Eve, you know, specifically Adam eating the forbidden fruit, then God would have been a liar. And so God had to allow death into the world. In fact, the curse in Genesis chapter 3, he said that, you know, man came from the dust of the ground and he's going to return to the dust of the ground. So he died initially spiritually when he disobeyed God. And then of course, he died physically. And sometimes God allows, for instance, unsaved people to be used as tools of judgment in the Bible, and he allows the devil to be used as a tool of judgment, and that's where the devil has the power of death, I think.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord also said, you know, differently. He said, you know, fear not him who hath power to kill the body, and after that can do no more.
Right. Right.
Rather, you fear him who, after he has killed that power, he cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if somebody pulls a gun on somebody and threatens to shoot them and kill them, you know, they can only do that if God, you know, in terms of threatening to kill a believer, they can only do that if God allows them to do that. And God may allow them to do that for, you know, there's various reasons we don't always understand. I was thinking of the missionaries that went down in Central America. I think it was the Aku or Akua Indians in Central America. I forget the country. Was it Suriname maybe, or somewhere in that area? But at any rate, these were the first people to make contact with this tribe, and they the tribe members killed them. They speared them. They killed them on the ground, right there where they landed with their airplane. And they landed a plane on the river there. And you say, well, how could God allow that to happen? Especially when they felt led of God to go there. But through their death, God opened up a witness to that tribe. And later on, the widow and I think the son of one of the guys, Jim Elliott, I think it was able to be in there with the people that killed her husband, his father, who had since trusted Christ as his Savior, and actually, if I remember correctly, became a preacher of the gospel to his own people. And she was able to be there with him, and it was really precisely because of those missionaries that they killed, that God was able to work in their midst and open their hearts to the gospel. So sometimes death has purposes that we don't always understand. And certainly, barring the rapture, it's appointed unto man once to die. So we're going to hit it eventually.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I would hope that if I have to go out through death's door, that my death would accomplish something for the work of the Lord. You know, I mean, I'd like to just go to sleep and, you know, close my eyes and wake up in heaven. That'd be great. I mean, that'd be nice. But, you know, God might have other plans, and there's been other people out there that the manner of their death, God has used that to reach other people. I'm thinking of, and perhaps you might remember this, John, attorney, missionary, actually legal missionary, Terry Hamilton, whose daughter at 13 years of age wanted to serve God, and she was killed in a tragic car accident down, I think, in Georgia. And people asked, how could that happen? And when they read her, you know, looking through some of her diary and things like that after she had died, they discovered that she wanted her life to be used to reach and bring people to Christ. And they produced a gospel track after that. And her name was Glory, and they called it the Glory Track. And through that track, thousands of people literally have put their faith in Christ as their Savior. And so in her death, she's probably led more people to the Lord, you know, in that sense, than she did in her life. And so God used her death at a young age to reach people with the gospel that may have not been reached as easily otherwise. So we never can understand it. We understand, of course, death is a part of the curse. God can't exempt us from death, obviously, because that's a part of the curse in Genesis chapter 3 for sin. The wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So now we can be saved from spiritual death by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior, because he certainly tasted death for us. But, you know, barring the rapture, like I said, we all came into the world, and so we're all going to leave the world eventually. None of us lives, you know, forever in this world right now.
Well, but, that's right. And, you know, that's the other part of the verse that I was, you know, mentioned to you, because it talks about that, how Jesus was made a high priest.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. Was made a little lower than the angels for the
right. Yeah. He didn't take the nature of angels on him, but the nature of man.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Sorry, I didn't phrase that wrong. But you know, but it says that, you know, like he did that, you know, for us, that because as much as we are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You know, he died the death for us that we should die.
Oh, absolutely.
And
you know,
the eternal death that we deserve.
And had Jesus not taken on the form of a man, there's no way he could have been crucified. God veiled himself in his glory and his power and his righteousness in the form of a man. And that's how he was able to do that, to suffer for us and to shed his blood and die on the cross in our place.
Yeah, and that's what's amazing, that it's one of the, it's so important for people to understand that. It seems so hard to for a lot of people, because the other day I talked to this woman. She doesn't have to be a Jehovah's Witness, but she's telling me, she says, well, God can't die. God doesn't have to die. And I said, well, no. I said, no, and God didn't die. She said, well, you're saying Jesus is God. She's saying, trying to draw a distinction between Jesus, God's son, and the Father, saying, well, they're distinctly different. And I'm saying,
right.
No, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one, you know, various verses, you know, I'm trying to tell her. And she's like, well, how can God die? And I said, well, he didn't, his, and what died, you know, what, the part of him that died, he took on flesh, took on him the, you know, the form of man, that he could die for us so we could be delivered from our sin. And, but, you know, his eternal nature really didn't die. It was his flesh that he took on, that he's veiled within.
Mm-hmm. In John chapter 10, Jesus said this, verses 17 and 18, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And yeah, so he literally laid down his own life for us and then took it back up again.
Yeah, that's so, that really explained it so well, right? He has power to lay it down and power to take it up again.
Mm-hmm.
Laid it down freely. No man takes it from me.
And a lot of people fail to understand that, you know, Jesus did not, I'm going to say this carefully, Jesus did not have to die on the cross. I mean, he didn't have to do that. God could have just simply wiped out humanity after Adam sinned. He could have done that and started over with a fresh slate. He could have. He didn't have to send Jesus to die on the cross, but the Bible says it's because God loved us that he did this. And so the love that God has for us, that's what constrained Jesus Christ to go to the cross and lay down his life. I mean, he paid for the sins on the cross. He shed his blood, and the Bible says just before he died, it said, he said, it is finished. And then it said, he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life. And you know, some people falsely teach or erroneously teach, one or the other, that Jesus went and suffered in hell. He didn't. The Bible said he went and he led captivity captive. The souls that were bound in Abraham's bosom, he took into heaven. He showed them that the blood had been shed, that the price had been paid. And, you know, they were waiting for that. And certainly those in the place of torment, they saw him in Abraham's bosom, revealing himself as the Messiah. They saw the one that they were rejecting, and then he ascended with those souls up into heaven. And now, of course, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and the Lord's in heaven. And people just do not understand the Godhead. It's not three gods. Jesus isn't the physical son of Jehovah, like the Mormons teach. He's not a separate deity or demigod. He's certainly not the angel, the archangel Michael that the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. He's God, the physical manifestation of God. That's who Jesus Christ was. And he willingly went to the cross, paid for our sins with his blood, laid down his life, and then after leading captivity captive, he took his life back up again, and there's the resurrection. So, it's amazing.
Praise the Lord, yeah. Well, does it say, too, that, you know, I mean, because, yeah, he took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say he preached unto the spirits that were disobedient? Like, I mean, he went there and, like, it seems like he said, well, you know, you're not in judgment, it's eternal, you know. I mean, he just showed his victory, you know, but. You know, there was no hope of those that were there lost ever leaving.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about he descended prior to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. We see people, including the Old Testament saints being as described in Acts chapter 2, for instance. Let me turn back there. And I got to watch the clock here. I got another caller coming in as well. In Acts chapter 2 here, he talks about David, and he quotes from Psalm 16, I believe it is. And he says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." Now, follow closely what David says of himself and of Jesus in verse 27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." And if you go back to Psalm 16, that's what it says there too, what David said. David said God was not going to leave him in hell. But see, we know that David was a righteous man. He's in heaven today. And prior to the cross, it appears that hell was divided into a place of torment and Abraham's bosom. There in, what is that, Luke chapter 19, or I'm sorry, 16, where Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man died. And the rich man opened his eyes in torment, and he could see Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And I believe that what happened when, as Ephesians tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 9, verse number 8, where it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Then it says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is same also that ascended up far above all thing or all heavens, that he might fill all things. And so what I believe happened here is Jesus descended not into the place of torment, but into Abraham's bosom. And he took Abraham, he took Lazarus, he took David, he took all of the righteous dead that believed in God's word and looked forward to God's Messiah, and he took them up to heaven. And so now the Bible says when we die, be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord, and we're in heaven where Jesus is. We don't have to go into Abraham's bosom or the paradise side of hell that David said that he would not stay in forever. He was confident that God, that the Messiah would remove him from hell. But he wasn't in torment. He was in Abraham's bosom. And he's in heaven today, of course. And so the unsaved dead in torment would have seen Jesus there in Abraham's bosom, just like the rich man saw Lazarus. And they would have heard him just like the rich man heard Abraham and had a conversation with Abraham across the gulf that was fixed between the two places. And so when they ascended up into heaven, of course, now Jesus is there, and the souls that were in hell, they saw the one that they had rejected. So I hope that helps out a bit there tonight, John.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's
All right. Well, I appreciate that call tonight, John. I want to get our next caller in before we run out of time here tonight, too. But appreciate it. Have a nice 4th of July.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless. Take care. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Jeremiah calling in. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, hi. I'd like to know if we are any closer to the rapture.
Well, obviously, we are closer. I can say that in the one case, just from simply that this is one day later than yesterday, and you know what I mean in that sense. But I think what you're asking more is in terms of things that are happening in the world, because obviously we know the rapture is going to take away, take place at a future time. And by rapture, of course, we are referring to the catching away of believers in the world. Incidentally, HBO has come out with a movie called on Sunday nights called The Leftovers. I've not seen it. I just read about it online actually earlier today. And and this movie or this show does not use the term rapture, but it deals with about 2% of the global population vanishing and being attributed to some sort of religious event. But the rapture is the catching away of the believers. You can read about it in detail in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last half of that chapter.
Of course, we can be raptured any moment.
Oh, yeah. And there's certain things that we see happening that indicate other future events, such as the 7-year tribulation period, the rise and the reign of the Antichrist, and certainly the fact that Israel became a nation again in 1948, that's something that was prophesied. The Bible said that the house of Israel, the Jews, would be desolate. I think it's in Hosea chapter 6 for, 2 days, and on the third day, they would be restored back, and we see things like that. And we've seen 2,000 years of the Jews essentially were out of the land, and they came back. We see evidences of the rebuilding of the third temple. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem has a project going where they are producing all of the furniture necessary for the new temple, training the priests. They've been locating people of the Levitical bloodline and training them to serve as priests in the new temple. And they've also have somewhere here in the States right now a red heifer, which in, I think, Leviticus 19, the ashes of the red heifer were instrumental in a ritual purification process that they believe is necessary. Some believe is necessary for the restoration of the priesthood. And so they've got this red heifer they're excited about right now. They've had others in the past. Some of them have been disqualified for various reasons. But we just see so many things. The Middle East, the Bible predicts the coming destruction of Damascus and the destruction of Egypt with the entire population being removed for 40 years. We see these nations coming together. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see knowledge increasing, like the Bible said would happen in the time of the end. Knowledge is increasing at an exponential rate faster than ever before in history. All these things point to the fact that it would appear that the Lord is returning soon.
Well, yep, bless 4th of July.
Hey, thank you. You too. I appreciate that. And thank you for your call tonight. The Bible says when we see these things, we ought not to be worried, but we ought to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And that's why it's important for people to make sure of their relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't say your religion. I didn't say your church membership. I said your relationship. Christ died and shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sin if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Have a great week and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.